B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 12 o'clock and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're a Beasley Media Group station. Are you looking forward? I mean, pitchers and catchers are a big deal around here. And I can't believe it's been this quiet.
Because nobody's really... What are you expecting?
Like I don't know. I don't know what I'm expecting. I just know it's been quiet.
Like I was talking to Tyrone not too long ago, and he was saying, well, technically, you know, the Nationals got worse because they lost Rendon, which is true. You know, the Braves lost Donaldson, which is true. But they're still immensely talented. They have very good baseball teams. And the Phillies, even though they did improve, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, wow, they're a 90-win team. They're gonna win the division. Like, I'm excited for baseball to return. I'm excited for the Phillies to return, but I'm not really excited for my outlook of this season. That's just how I feel. And it sucks. Because we had that great tweet last week. What was it, Colin? What was his name?
Colin.
He's excited to go down to Clearwater and...
Yeah, I felt so bad for
Bryce
Colin.
And JT and jetpacks.
Yeah.
And I go, you're giving me jetpacks? Like, I'm not that excited.
I felt bad for Colin.
Me too.
I want to go to spring training.
Yes.
We probably won't make the cut, though. I used to all the time. We were at the other station. We used to go all the time.
I've tried making some requests.
Yeah.
The Mikey Miss show is going down.
Well, it's good.
Yeah.
We should
go down, too.
Yeah. I do miss. One of the things I do miss is the Frenchies.
I've never been to Clearwater.
Like, if you guys are looking to go have fun, and Philly Sports Trips is doing something, and they're great. You go to phillysportstrips.com, you do the Clearwater spring training. That side of Florida, I love that side of Florida. The beach is powdery. It's awesome. And then you got the baseball and the beach. It's perfect. Go see a couple games, hang out in the outfield, and then go to the beach. It's a great little winter getaway.
I went to
4 days.
Siesta Key Beach a few years ago with my aunt, uncle, my godparents. They lived down there.
Half
the year.
Nice.
They're snowbirds. So I went down and visited them, and we made like the hour-long drive to that beach because it was rated number one beach of the year.
Really?
And it was awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. Very cool. Mark in Miami, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey,
Mark.
Anthony.
Hey, yeah, Mark.
Hey, what's happening? Let me give you a little historical perspective and to show that this is a molehill with Embiid instead of a mountain. I remember a player who was getting booed constantly and had an art, you know, and was interviewed as usual in those days by the newspapers. And we had three in those days. And he killed the fans after another day of getting booed. And he knew as soon as he gave that interview that it was the wrong thing. And the next game, he comes out in a wig and it turned the whole thing around. And I think it turns his whole fans' perspective.
Yeah, this mini thing, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was big. And that was no social media. And he was able to turn that around and go on. And it's all about mentality. And we'll get to see Joel's mentality.
Yeah, I don't think you might have misconstrued. I don't think it's a mountain or a big deal. But it's annoying. Like, I got to tell you, like, quite frankly, it's the passive aggressive. It's annoying. And I'm tired of drama. I'm done. Like, just come on. Let's get this thing right.
What I want to see tonight, and this is my concern, they cannot get punked tonight. I don't care if they win or lose, but they got to come to play. And we'll get to see what Court Mize is or isn't.
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, Clippers are tough. Patrick Beverley's nasty.
Now, is he playing tonight? Because I know he's been hurt.
Yeah, he has been hurt. I didn't see the injury report yet.
But he's got, I don't care if I don't expect him to score 30 points, but I'd like to see him hit open shots. If he scores 15 and plays, I'm happy. But we can't get pumped tonight.
I agree. Yeah, I agree with you. You know, here's the thing, though. I I'm completely with you. My only deal is, aren't you just tired of the drama? I don't want to deal with it anymore. I don't feel like that. You know? I just want to I want to watch basketball. I'm tired of drama.
But I think I still think we can get the three spot.
Well, they need to do some serious turnaround.
They need to play better on the road. It's inexcusable.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if they can play, look, we have an easier schedule after the All-Star break, and we should come to play.
Yes. I agree with you.
And I think nobody wants to play us in the playoffs.
Yes.
I really believe that. I believe that.
Well, listen, I agree that I still think they're a tough. I built for 16. I say the same thing. But they got to get their head on screwed right.
No, I got it.
Yeah. But I'm with you. I mean.
And I'm all for one more thing. I'm all for best of three, best of five baseball.
Yeah.
I can't stand one and done. It doesn't make sense in baseball.
It's football. One and done's football.
You know, it doesn't make sense.
I agree. I'm with you.
Now the junking of it up is ridiculous.
Yes.
There's no reason to do that. It's just a gimmick that doesn't, it belittles baseball.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I agree. I agree with you. 100%. 100%, Mark. Always great to talk. The hours are down there in Miami.
Well, it's in the 70s, so I can't complain.
That's a beautiful. That's the perfect time right now.
Yep.
Through March, April, it's the perfect
time
down there. Yeah.
And I used to work outside all summer long down here. And let me tell you, by November, you couldn't wait for the weather to break.
I bet. Yeah, it's nuts.
But I love hot weather, so I can't complain.
Good for you, Marky. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it.
I do like the one and done in baseball.
You like that?
Yeah, I do.
Why?
It's the Phillies have never been a part of it, so I've never been affected.
You actually like it? It's horrid.
I like the one and done, yeah. I think it's you have to be so strategic in your managing because you need to decide, do I go with my ace or do I go with somebody else? Because if we win, we're playing game one 2 days later and my ace won't be available. I kind of like it. I know people don't.
I'm
in the minority when it comes to that.
Hey, it's not baseball. You're Mr. Baseball.
Yeah, no, I get it. I like it, though.
One game is not baseball. You play 162 to play one game?
Yeah.
That's dumb.
I get it. And you could win 102 games and come in second in your division like the Red Sox Yankees a few years ago.
Dude, I don't know how you could like it.
I do.
It goes against what the sport
is.
It's
a sport. It's about series. Three-game series. I get it. I kind of like it, though.
To me, I would make everything seven.
You're right. That's part of extending the playoffs.
Chop down that regular season.
Now, Sean from Media tweeted the midday account when you were going over the proposal.
Yeah.
He goes, I just threw up listening to that baseball proposal. The commissioner is a tool. I agree.
Yeah, I like Trevor Bauer ripped him. You're a joke. You got no clue about baseball. He is the worst commissioner.
Yeah, he's terrible. Like, I know people boo Goodell.
Same with Batman. He stinks,
right,
too.
Exactly.
But this Manfred's terrible. He's terrible. The only thing that's keeping them afloat is they're in an idiot-proof business.
Yep.
The business of content. They're blessed with content. And therefore, they're in an idiot-proof business. So not even Rob Manfred, who's the worst, can screw it up. What's up, Matt? What are you doing?
Hello.
What are you up to?
Just writing my update. What are you up to?
Oh, the Chewis and I, we did it up last night.
Oh, you did?
On a glass.
Oh, how was the game?
Yeah, on a glass.
I mean, it was a great game. Carter Hart did well.
Yes, he did.
For his first game back. That's great.
Yeah, it was great. The Chewis was loving it.
Were you on the glass?
We were on the glass.
Wow.
Thanks to our friends at Chop Dog.
Oh, wow.
Josh, yeah.
Never sat it up against the glass
that
before.
Was, guess what? That was only, I only did it recently for a period.
Right.
And that was really my first game sitting there all three periods.
The only time I've ever been super close is when I've been working.
There's nothing better than,
no.
Like, that's a great seat.
Yeah, that's incredible.
That's
what section
seat.
Were you guys in?
104, 105.
Oh, so you were like right there.
Yeah.
That's right behind the net, right? Like
now, right? Yeah, right. You know,
like caddy,
yeah.
Like caddy.
Really, like at the point.
Yeah,
we were
in the corner.
At the point.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was all. The Chewis was fired up.
When my dad Pound used to take me, we would be at, I think we were in 209, but like the last row in the entire.
Yeah.
Me pounding
Good
beers.
Times. Yeah. No. Pound Not beers. This guy.
No.
Come He's on. An angel.
Yeah. All right.
I haven't had a drink in years.
We got a first couple of open lines. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Obviously, the drama. And then we'll talk that baseball stuff. It is pitchers and catchers. And I got to ask you about this rotation. And, of course, Fly Guys and your expectations. Right here on 97.5 for now.
FanDuel Sportsbook, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is America's number one sportsbook for a reason. They've got all the bets you could want. They've got a great, easy-to-use app and new promos every day. And once you win, they get your cash fast. And if you've been holding out on trying FanDuel Sportsbook, then now's the time. Because right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving new users their first bet risk-free. That means you can place any bet within 7 days of signing up, and FanDuel Sportsbook will refund you up to $500 in site credit if you don't win. If you're missing football, of course, the XFL returns this weekend, and we got basketball tonight. I don't really like Philly in this game, but I do think Joel Embiid hits the over in his point total because he's got all this Twitter gate going on right now. So I do like the over in Embiid. To claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app from the iOS App Store or visit FanDuel.com/Android. Be sure to use code FANATIC so they know that we sent you. That's promo code FANATIC, FANATIC, to get your first bet risk-free. You must be 21 or older and present in New Jersey or PA. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 14 days after receipt. Terms and restrictions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
Emotional intelligence. I need to grow a bomber.
Hey, real quick. Our show recap, by the way, is basically Joel Embiid and the troll tweet. Him and Jimmy the Devil. The Devil, Jimmy Butler. Read it exactly the way it is. Read the exchange. And look, I'm not making a mountain out of it. I'm just tired of drama. Like, enough, like trolling and the drama. Stop.
So Embiid posted a photo of himself shushing the crowd, which is, again, we talk about how smart he is all the time. So it's the perfect photo to use. So it's him shushing the crowd. And he tweets the quote from the Dark Knight series, "You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain." Jimmy Butler.
Which is a Batman quote.
Yes. Jimmy Butler then responds with, "I know a place where villains are welcome," which is also genius that he tweets that. And then Embiid then goes, "Damn right, my brother."
And you start to bleep up. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. And there's Jimmy. You know what? In a perfect world, like this wouldn't happen. And by the way, I'm not advocating trading anybody. I'd rather keep both of them. I want to keep both of them. But justice, you know what justice would be? Here's what perverse justice would be. Ben Simmons develops into a top five player. He shoots the basketball. They replace Embiid or whatever, that body. This is in the years to come. Embiid's himself, baby. Jimmy Butler, he goes to Miami, and Jimmy Butler can't take Embiid and stabs him like he stabbed Karl Anthony Towns. Only stabs him for real with a samurai.
Wow. Going samurai sword on him.
Shut up, Jimmy. Like, I love it. Like, if I'm Miami, I'm going, yeah, way to go, Jimmy. You know, stoke the flame.
So somebody
here you go. You know what, Jim? You know what? you know, I want to drown you in the water in Miami, and then you and Joe with chains, and then we'll bring you up, all right? And you guys can enjoy each other playing ball in Miami.
I credit the person who did this. I was looking through some of the responses, and somebody photoshopped Embiid in a Heat jersey, and Embiid and Butler were hugging each other. I was like, I got to give you credit.
Oh, yeah. And was there a knife in Jimmy's hand stabbing him in the back?
It wasn't a knife.
No, but you want to talk about, like, stuff that you don't feel like dealing with? You know, it just brings you to your base as a, it's like, dude, at this point, I can't take any more drama. Take your drama. Give me a break. Just go man up and play ball. Stop complaining. Go to work in a soup kitchen one day. Go find out how lucky you are. And go play ball.
I took the over and beat points tonight.
Yeah, whatever. I'm just tired of it.
I know.
I'm just tired of drama. I don't do drama. Tired of it. Just stop, dude. Come on, man. Especially from, like, your athlete, your warrior. Nothing is less becoming than trolling social media.
When you're
a warrior.
Jay in Camden called in the other day. Remember that? And compared Joel Embiid to Kobe because he was playing with his hand. Remember that? And you stopped him right away.
I was Jay in Westfield.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Please. You kidding me. Horrible. Dominic, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dominic.
Yo, cuz. What's going
what's
on?
What's up, Dom?
Same old, same old. My mind starts going when I'm on hold. I start thinking as I hear other people call in. So my mind goes all over. I'm going to try to touch on a few things.
Sure.
Before I do, I just want to always just tell you that I've seen you a few times out, like at you know, at the parks and the turf. You're such a nice guy and such a down to earth dude, and I think it's what makes you. Besides being just a great sportsman on the radio, that's what's given you all these years of success. You're just a real good guy, and you're always congenial. And I just wanted to say,
thank you, Dom. I appreciate that, brother. Yeah, that's how we're all raised here in Philadelphia. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're a good guy. And while I'm throwing out compliments, the Tunis is a man because he lets you know when you're up next. He's talking to you. He's doing all that. He's awesome. So I want to
Tunis is good. He's the best. He is.
Yeah,
I love the Tunis.
And when you say. The Palm, are you talking about, I don't want to put his last name on there, but Jim H, Big Jim?
Yes.
To the same Jim?
Yes.
Man, he hired me at the Palm down the shore.
Yes, yes, that's who I'm talking about, yes.
He's the best. He's the absolute best. If you ever, when you run into him again, just tell him Dominic from Atlantic City.
He's exactly listening probably right now.
Yeah, he's the best. So when these people are calling in about, a few things, when the people are calling about the coaching, and listen, Brett Brown is far from a perfect coach and has his flaws, as you know, obviously. But when you wanted to tell me that you think yelling at these guys or something like that is going to change what's going on, it's the biggest crock. These guys need to understand. I think, like, listen, I believe with all my heart, I know that they want to win. I know that Embiid wants to win. I know that Simmons wants to win. I don't know, and this is where they have to take the initiative, okay? I don't know if they realize that there's another gear when you look at a guy like Kobe, when you look at a guy like Giannis,
yep.
when you look at a guy like Siakam, like he's a perfect example. This kid, it's just the work. So I know.
And he's from Cameroon.
Right. His African brother, you know, just like Giannis said, African brother. The guy puts in, you see these guys putting in his work. So I don't doubt that they're putting in work, but there's another level to this. So as much as I know they want to win, I don't think they realize that. So to blame the coaching and blame other people besides yourself, like even for Embiid before, to say, I don't have a big man who can show me whatever. Listen, dude, guys are offering. You have Reggie Miller offering Ben Simmons.
I know.
Things like that. Not that I know you weren't keen on Reggie Miller, but in general, there's guys in the NBA.
No, I love Reggie Miller. Yeah. No, I hear it.
So. I find it frustrating that they don't understand that there is more to it. And if you looked even a couple years ago, like when we buried Brett with the style of play, and there is trouble with spacing, I get it. Look at two or three years ago, when Simmons' first year, I remember Embiid, the way he played, and this is where it comes into the conditioning. Because it's not like he's having these leg injuries, knee injuries, back injuries. These are little goofy things that he's had go on, the things that we weren't worried about. They're like obscure things. The fact of the matter is, I remember them playing against like the Clippers, the Lakers. He was up and down the court. He does not look like the same player. He looks disinterested. He looks like he's like huffing and puffing for air. And that is where I think the major issue is. I think that he can be a guy, and we don't need him in the post 9 million times. I don't expect that. I don't mind him shooting threes here and there.
Right,
he's
right.
Got to take a breather, but he doesn't look like the same player if you look back even 2 years ago.
No, I hear you. He had spells of like incredible dominance. Dom, thanks. Great stuff, brother. We appreciate it, man. And, you know, I mean, there comes a point in time where it's like, come on, man. You know, I know you can play. I know you can be a dominant force. Just do it. Just do it. And leave the trolling and whatever it is, and all BS. By the way, show recap brought to you by Dietz and Watson. If you want the absolute best real Philly hoagie, you gotta visit a real Philly deli. Find one near you at realphillydeli.com. You follow Tunis?
I'm following you. And oh my God. You're right. This is drama. It drives you insane, right?
I'm just dumb with drama and adulting.
Like how many times?
Like you seeing words like adulting. I'm sorry, Mark. Mark did said it this morning. I always like to bust Mark Stones. You're gonna use the word adulting? Like you just go, dude, stop. Stop with this whole other world. Just go play basketball.
You know what this makes me think of?
What?
The Markelle Fultz, the Snapchat video with the cow udders. You remember that?
Oh, I do.
That was a good time for Markelle.
That was a frustrating time too.
Yes. You're like, oh, come on, man. Just play ball. I don't need these videos. And how many videos did we see of him making, you know, dunking in the gym?
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough, man.
You know what's funny? Speaking of Mark,
why?
Well, I mean, remember the how crazy people went when he had that one good game against the Lakers?
Yeah,
it's been pretty quiet since, huh?
Yeah. No, dude, I hear you. Like, there's some great stuff that's in social media. Great stuff,
right?
But there's also annoying. Like, if you're a sports fan, oh, God.
And we know the immense talent that Joel Embiid has. Go out there, play, figure it out. You and Ben, right? Put that aside, you two, whatever the drama may be between those two guys. Just go out there, figure it out, and play. I don't care if you hate each other. You guys know that you need each other to win, so let's go.
To me, Ben doesn't even engage in this stuff.
You're right, he doesn't.
I mean, he got his own thing with the Kendall Jenner stuff, but...
But maybe that bothers people.
But more often than not, he's not engaging in this kind of nonsense.
Right. And Joel is, and that's part of Joel Embiid's lovable personality. People love Joel Embiid because of who he is as the person, too. Right? I mean, people... How many times have we heard people say, I don't like Ben Simmons because it looks like he doesn't care? Because he doesn't have a personality. I don't like his Aussie cool. Well, I mean, how many times have you heard that?
I don't know. Whatever.
Like, but Joel Embiid is getting support for the tweet yesterday.
Support?
Yeah, because they think, oh, here he comes. Joel Embiid's back. He's back.
Whatever. Okay.
We haven't seen him have fun since that Timberwolves
That's
game.
That's fun? Like, I don't understand that concept. It's fun? That's fun?
Apparently to him it may be.
I think is it fun when you go score 32 at 16? And then go celebrate after the game? I don't know. Isn't that fun?
It could be fun.
Is that more fun?
But people love his social media presence. And I'm sure he loves himself his social media presence. And he hasn't been as active this year. And now he puts out that tweet. And we had the caller earlier that says he loves the attention.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the spot on.
I'm sure he's thrilled that people are talking about him today.
Just give me a minute of break.
Okay.
All right.
We won't talk about
a break. Two minutes. And I want to get to the phones. I got a question about their rotation.
Okay.
So, you either, to me, do one thing. You either go Matisse. Horford's got to be in the second unit. And you either go Matisse or Furkan. Now, to me, I would go Matisse because I like Ben and Matisse as defensive up front, defensive guys.
Right.
The only thing is that second unit, you lack a defensive player.
Big time.
Because now you're rolling Horford, Burks, Dog Jr., and Korkmaz. Burks needs to be off the bench. I think Robinson needs to be off the bench.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Horford needs to be off the bench. So to me, it goes down to Matisse or Korkmaz.
Now, I think...
And if Korkmaz it hits a little bit early, you ride with him. If not, you get him out.
I feel like my gut goes Matisse, but then when I start thinking about it, and maybe I'm just sort of enamored by the last two games, because Korkmaz has played out of his mind, 30 points in each of his last two games. But we've seen the stats and how like the Ben Simmons has assisted the most three-pointers in the league this year, and they're not a good three-point shooting team.
Right.
So imagine having a guy who's getting a little confident in himself, getting a little hot, finding his touch, finding his shot. If you can kind of groom that a little bit more.
That's my point.
Like maybe you do go with Ben and Furkan to start the game. And again, like you said, if he's not hitting his shots, and we already know he's not a good defensive player, like he's not good at defense, right? I know he's gotten a little bit better, but he's not good at defense, and he's nowhere near as good as Matisse Thybulle is on defense. There's no problem in giving him a quick hook. If he starts out 0 for 3 and gets cooked on three straight possessions on the other end, yeah, there's no problem taking him out.
Right.
But I do like the idea of starting with him, because the Sixers last year and the year before that were one of the best first quarter teams there were in the league because of J.J. Redick. Because they do this run and gun, and J.J. Redick would hit transition threes, or they do the dribble handoff with J.J. Redick.
And to me, you still have the Burks coming off the bench that can hit. If Furkan's not hot, and you got Burks to come off the bench.
And I'm not comparing Korkmaz to J.J. Redick by any means.
I know. I get it. You have Matisse off the bench. You have Horford off the bench. You have Glenn Robinson Jr. off the bench. You are three.
Now, so let's see. Who's handling the ball for you?
What do you mean, off the bench?
Yeah, if you're going Matisse.
Well, you gotta first of all, what you gotta do is you gotta stagger rotation.
You gotta have Ben or Josh Richardson out there.
Correct.
With that group.
Correct. Jay Rich is the point guard of the second unit.
Right.
Because I don't want Neto to play. I can't stand Neto. So you gotta stagger it. Well, that's why I pair Matisse and Ben up top. Jay Rich is handling the point guard duties
for that second unit.
Correct.
I think I do right now kind of want to ride with the Korkmaz thing. And I feel weird saying it because I'm not the biggest Korkmaz fan out there, but you can't deny that he's shot the lights out the last two games. And he's improved this season. Right? Like, all jokes aside, Furkan Korkmaz has improved this season.
Yeah, but he also has to do it against a good team.
Yes, he does. You're right. I would like to see him try to do it tonight. But you said it the other night, which is true, or the other day when we did the show. After two games like that, now you're going to start being guarded a little bit more. Which opens up things for everybody else, which is nice.
Which is good. Yeah, I that would be a godsend if, not that he's going to score 31, but if he could score 15.
Right.
Like a legit average 15? Carl, you're on 97.5, the Fanatic. Carl.
Hey, how you doing, fellas?
What's up, Carl? How you doing, buddy?
All right. It's been a while since I called.
I know, man. You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right, man. Listen to you guys. Hear me out, and I know you are a Ben Simmons fan, and I like the team, but let me explain to you about Embiid and Ben Simmons and coaching. Not that I'm right, but this is my opinion. You have Embiid. Last year, he missed a couple games, crucial games in the playoffs that we needed him. I think it was the third game. We could have went up 3-1, something like that.
That
was big. At the end of the game, he was crying. He was hurt because he wanted to win. So I figured he learned something from that. He come back. They show him in shape, and, you know, he wanted to come back and, you know, get himself back. So then you have Ben Simmons that didn't do game seven. Shot seven shots. That's uncalled for. Then you have Ben, every year he comes back with a video of him shooting J's and fadeaways and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just like you, Anthony, you've been doing this a long time. You still work on your craft, correct?
Yes, sir.
You still work on your craft. So my thing is with Ben, And I'm going to say reason why he's hurting the team. He's only effective to us if he is in transition. In half court, it clouds everything up because people can fade off him to help out because they know he's not going to shoot for the J. In the playoffs, it's a half-court game. And Embiid has to go down to the paint. Okay, hear me out. Then you have Brett Brown says last year, I want Embiid to shoot 8 threes. Then he says a couple weeks ago against Atlanta, I want Embiid to be out the elbow. We didn't want to get baited in of being double teamed. Okay, Brett Brown. So what if you baited in? He passed out of the double team, and Atlanta has nobody to stop Embiid. If they don't, if he doesn't do it, they have no big man.
Right.
So that to me, that's bad coaching. You have to put your players sometime, and but then you have.
Yeah, listen, I agree. And the only thing I would mildly disagree with you on is in a half court set, like. Simmons can also drive the lane. And we've seen him drive.
If there is a lane. Now, he only does it if it's in transition.
That's right, Carl. I've seen him do it in half court now, which has been different. That's why I think his game's grown a little bit. Like, you're right. He needs to shoot the ball. I never argue that.
And I want you to check out this, though. Watch the teams that he do it on.
Yeah, I agree.
We need you. I've seen him.
Yes.
And get me wrong. Embiid, you got to grow up Embiid. And Embiid has done everything that the coach asked him to do. I need you to stop clowning and getting in trouble. We need you on the floor. He stopped that. I think that affected his game. Although I still say he needs to get in shape. But I think that affected his game because that was his edge. That's what he did to get him going. But Ben Simmons hasn't done what the coach asked him to do. The last resort for the coach was he's going to come out in public and say it. I want Ben Simmons to shoot one three-pointer a game or jump shot a game.
Right.
He hasn't done it since because Ben Simmons, arrogance is going to show him that I'm not going. Now that you did that, I'm going to show you I'm not going to do it anyway. I know the general manager spoke to him about it. Then you had the guy saying, "Oh, he's really working on his jumpy. He's looking good." But then you know what example he set for the guys? You come in the game and now you don't see it when you're open. When you open, you get the ball with 4 seconds.
I'll never argue with you, Carl, that you're not right about him shooting the basketball. I'm serious. I agree with you. I am. Thanks for the call, brother. My only point is that we can't have a conversation every day because he's not shooting it. And while he's not shooting, he's still impacting the game in a positive way. So I agree, if he's shooting it, he becomes a top five player. But he has been driving the ball in half court. He's been going to the line. He's been aggressive to the rim. You know? I mean, I don't know what else to say other than, like, yeah, you're right about not. You're right about needs to shoot, but I still think he's in net positive, in net gain. I don't think he bogs the offense down like everybody says he does. All right, let's talk about Parks Casino, shall we? PA's number one casino right there, Street Road, Ben Salem. Get off the exit, off of 95, and within 5 minutes, right to your right, veer off in the beautiful oasis that is Parks Casino. Go to that sports book. You got to take it on the other side, right, to the left of the entrance, and you go around the building, and there it is, the entrance to get into the Parks Casino Sportsbook, which is absolutely magnificent. Wrap around video walls, tremendous. So let's take a look at the Sixers and Clippers tonight. Just go to parkscasino.com/PA or download the app. Use my promo code CUZRADIO, CUZRADIO. CUZRADIO is the promo code. You get a risk-free bet up to $500. Here you go, Chunis. Right now, the Clippers are now 1.5-point favorite. That line is chunked up a point. And you got to lay 121. So their line is up a point for the Sixers and Clippers tonight. So interesting. So all the stuff you have on the, let's check Fly Guys. All right, so Fly Guys, Chunis. How you feeling about Fly Guys tonight? It's a big one against the Islanders.
Let's go 3 straight.
All right, here we go. Flyers +114 on the island in Brooklyn. So there it is. Parks tonight. I just looked it up right there on my phone. It's so easy. Get that risk-free bet to $500. Use promo code CUZRADIO. Gotta be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Hello.
Wow. 30 years ago, Buster Douglas. The shot heard around the world. Nobody even knew. Wow. That's wild.
That's one thing as a sports person I wish I was in more on was boxing. But unfortunately, it's not the same as what it was years ago. But I mean, you hear those stories, and I watched the video already today of that knockout, and you read the things about how nobody expected it.
So I was just beginning. I was like really at like just the end. I was in college. We were on a ski trip in the Catskills. Yeah, we were in a ski trip to Catskills. And he got, and that's when he got done. What? Tyson lost? Are you kidding? So then years later, I start working for the New York Post. And I start doing some boxing. Then I started doing a lot of boxing. And it was awesome. But that fight was always referenced. Like that was... And that was really the precursor to Holyfield. See, what Buster Douglas and Holyfield had in common was they weren't afraid of Tyson. And Mike, like, because Mike would make guys melt. Guys would melt. But if they weren't afraid, like, Holyfield was not afraid. And Holyfield had that, first of all, he was great at the headbutt. And it used to drive Tyson crazy. But he would keep him at bay with a jab. And Buster Douglas's jab, man, it was, you know?
Jabbing the mic?
I'm trying to explain it. It was that jab, it was like it would pop and it would keep him at bay. It would frustrate Tyson. And that turned out to be the recipe to beat him. Like, you can't be afraid of him. And you gotta be long. The reach was a big deal with him. Not let him get inside, and he had to be strong. Holyfield was strong. Buster Douglas got fat later, but he was strong. That was amazing. He was like some ridiculous 40-1 shot.
Wow.
Like I agree. Like I miss boxing like that.
I mean, the last time
like
I got...
Like the heavyweights.
Last time I got excited for a fight, and quite frankly, probably the only time I got excited for a fight was like the first Mayweather-Pacquiao fight.
Yeah.
Because I was in college, so like we did the illegal streaming. But we streamed the fight. And I mean, we all got together and watched it. But like that's probably the only fight that I was like ever ready for. Like,
right on.
I was like, oh, I can't wait for this fight tonight.
You know, it's amazing because you think about Philadelphia. And
yeah, you think of boxing.
Our role in that sport, that was a big deal. Philly fighter. Like that meant something.
Right.
Like New York point guards and Philly fighters. Like that was a thing. Jeff and Ambler, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeffrey?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
What's up, Jeff?
Hey. So, the Sixers, and I guess an analogy that I'm kind of coming up with in my mind, I teach college-age students, so every semester I got a new challenge because I got a new group of students, and I got to figure how I'm going to teach them. Every individual is different. I have the perspective, yeah, I got to teach you this material. We're going to make sure you learn what you need to know, but everyone's different. Everyone learns in a different way. So every semester, hopefully a new leader kind of emerges and I'm able to kind of craft my lessons around how I can best teach my students.
Sure.
And so that's about leadership development. That's about being creative and being a little innovative. And when I think about the Sixers, if you can't draft natural leaders or great leaders, you got to find a way to create them or build something out of nothing. And so I kind of point the finger a lot at Brett Brown, but probably going to go more to Elton Brand and the kind of guys that we're bringing into this situation. We can't allow Joel Embiid to be this.
Here's the one problem, though, Jeff, is that, you know, it's great that you want the leader, and I agree the importance of that guy, but you got to go talent first. I mean, like if you go back to those picks, you know, you had to take Joel Embiid. He fell to you, and it was a gift that he fell to you because the two guys that were taken before him are both mutts. And then you got the Ben thing. I mean, you weren't taking anybody else, but you had to take those guys. And obviously that was pre-Elton anyway, but still, like, those guys you had to bring in here. You had to go talent. That's what makes this league so difficult, is that it's young and that you need for these kids to grow.
I agree 100%, and that's fine to draft those guys, talented guys, but who are you going to put around them? And I thought it was a very intelligent move to bring in someone like Jimmy Butler, who has, you know, a little bit of that edge, that grit that you can't always teach the guys.
Right.
So something's got to be done, I think, more creatively to find out who can be a leader and push these guys and discipline them. If you go back in the history of the league, and I'm a student of the NBA, and I'm not comparing Brett Brown to Red Auerbach, or I'm not comparing him to Pat Riley or even Greg Popovich, but those guys had system. They had a model.
Mm-hmm.
They were building men. They were building leaders. They had talent. They drafted good guys, great guys, but they were guys who listened and they disciplined themselves when they needed to.
Let me ask you a question. Jeff, let me ask you a question off of this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, to me, if you went system with basketball, I'd be more apt to agree with you. But mm-hmm. when we're talking about a system with growing men, like, the way Brett handles those guys and tries to reach those guys, I mean, he's got the patience of Job. I mean, sometimes it's on that you're not going to be able to reach those two guys at a certain age. Like, you just have to wait for them to grow up, right? Like, when you're talking about Tim Duncan, he spent 4 years at Wake Forest. How could you compare Tim Duncan to anybody on the Sixers?
No question.
Like, Popovich didn't make Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan made Tim Duncan.
Yeah. But I think, you know, if Tim Duncan wasn't Tim Duncan, then guess what? He had, you know, Popovich had guys coming in from Europe who were European champions. Guys like Parker and guys like a Ginobili,
uh-huh,
who have been around the game and they know the game. And they're no nonsense guys. I mean, look at Nick Nurse and what he was able to do in Toronto.
Yeah.
No time.
Yeah.
Now, great. He got Kawhi. But he could have screwed that up big time, by not having the right kind of guy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more of a I think your case is better stated from a basketball standpoint rather than a leadership, because I think Brett works hard to try to get these kids to grow their minds. I just think you're dealing with young men. Like, Kawhi Leonard was a man. You know what I mean? Like, and you saw him play like a man. Like, Kawhi Leonard's not missing a game because he's got a tummy ache.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I appreciate where you're coming from, because no doubt you sound like a guy that I would love my sons, either of them, for you to be their professor. You sound like a guy that really knows how to mold young men. I just think these young men might be even a challenge for you, Jeff.
They would be, but I would surround them with other guys and gals who can hopefully bring out the best in them. I mean, whatever.
I hear you.
I mean, if you're not good at math, maybe you're good at public speaking.
I get you. I love your call. I thought it was a really interesting perspective you brought, so I appreciate that. Thanks, buddy.
All right. No problem.
Take care. I think sometimes we don't realize the challenge. It's like Jay Wright. Now, well, I'm not going to speak for Jay Wright. Jay Wright. But in my opinion, having spoke to him over the years, I can't imagine Jay Wright coaching in the NBA and having to deal with that. Like, he's not doing it.
He just wants to coach.
Right. Well, and he also wants to coach guys that are willing to be coached.
Yes. 4 years.
Correct.
For the most part. Now, before we get to the Bring the Heat line.
Yes.
Bovada put out some odds. I'm sure you want to hear this. Where will Joel Embiid play game
one? Oh, my God. I hate Bovada.
2021. For what
stop,
team?
Stop, stop. They're already done. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
Sixers are the favorite.
Who cares about Bovada? It's fake. By the way, you can't really bet on that. You know that.
Correct.
Those are just bogus things that you bring up.
This is, as a lot of people are saying on Twitter, this is getting out of hand.
It is out of hand. It's stop. Totally out of hand. Leave me alone. I know, Tyrone, you can't like this. This nonsense. All the nonsense. Are you adulting? You use that word? I never heard Tyrone use that word.
No, he doesn't use adulting.
Yeah. That's, to me, is the same thing to troll. Like, I hate troll. I hate that word. All right, coming up, Glenn's going to tell you he's sick of Jimmy Butler. Tommy's in Clearwater wants to talk a little Phillies and Fly Guys. We were there last night for that game, Trunas and I. And Jay has a fighting Phils question.
Good.
Pitchers and catchers today.
I am kind of fired up. Just for baseball.
Yeah. Ty's shaking his head.
About to get warm again soon. I still got some time, but...
No, it's warm. It's been warm.
Well, yeah, it's true.
There is no such thing.
I wear a coat.
We haven't even snowed.
Yeah, you're right.
I know Jim Salisbury and Ricky Bowe called into Mike's show.
I think that was such a cool concept, what they did.
Yeah, it was cool.
That was awesome.
And they actually went through a snowstorm, like in Georgia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's not snowing here. You gotta get one snow, no? Although I do love March. March is a fun time of year.
March Madness is coming.
I do my Guinness in March. That's why you basketball during the day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.